Support comes from Gemma, architects, planners, and designers seeking to bring joy to their clients and communities. Details at gemastl.com.
From the St. Louis Public Radio Newsroom, this is The Gateway. It's Monday, December 9th. I'm Abby Larico. President-elect Donald Trump is promising tariffs will be a big part of his economic policy, and that is making Illinois agriculture groups nervous.
Slapping just tariffs, it is a little scary to a farmer.
What else Illinois farmers are saying about Trump's return to office, coming up after this news on The Gateway. A Jackson County judge has not yet offered a ruling that could temporarily allow abortion providers in Missouri to again offer the procedure. Missouri's Planned Parenthood affiliates sued the state shortly after voters passed Amendment 3 in November, as the ballot initiative granted Missourians a constitutional right to an abortion to the point of viability. The suit also seeks to overturn many other restrictions on abortions. Planned Parenthood Great Rivers Chief Medical Officer Colleen McNicholas says even if the judge overturns the state's ban, but the restrictions stand, it's possible the clinics may still not offer abortions.
There's no way to provide that care in a way that is consistent with scientific principle while we are also navigating restrictions and jumping through hoops that we know only cause delays and increase barriers for people accessing care.
The suit is asking for a temporary injunction. That means another ruling would be needed to permanently overturn the ban. Amendment 3 technically went into effect Friday. Missouri's leading LGBTQ advocacy group is asking the Department of Revenue to reverse a policy making it harder for trans or non-binary Missourians to alter their driver's licenses. The department started requiring Missourians to get a court order or documents proving their gender transition surgery to change the gender marker on a driver's license. Katie Erker Lynch, the executive director of the LGBTQ advocacy group PROMO, says the change has caused immense frustration for some in the state's LGBTQ community.
IDs are essential, but especially for trans and non-binary folks to be able to access what they need daily.
Erker Lynch was a guest on the Politically Speaking Hour on St. Louis on the Air. Missouri Democrats are looking ahead after another disappointing election cycle. And as St. Louis Public Radio's Jason Rosenbaum reports, some of the party's leaders say that the road back to relevance isn't going to be easy.
Missouri Democratic candidates were blown out in statewide contests and failed to gain any ground in the General Assembly. Some of that is attributable to Democratic presidential nominee Kamala Harris's loss to President-elect Donald Trump by roughly 18.5 percentage points in Missouri. Democratic State Senator-elect Stephen Weber of Columbia says nobody should expect a quick turnaround for the state party's fortunes.
There is not a shortcut. There is not a bright, shiny object. It's about putting together multiple cycles where we make sustainable, steady progress.
Missouri Democrats may have better luck in 2026 when they could target three competitive state Senate seats. I'm Jason Rosenbaum, St. Louis Public Radio.
Court Van Osteren is St. Louis County Executive Sam Page's choice to be the next St. Louis County prosecutor. And Van Osteren says he'll use his time in the U.S. Attorney's Office and on the campaign trail to shape his new role. Van Osteren was a federal prosecutor for 15 months, handling a variety of cases, and then in 2018, he unsuccessfully challenged Republican Ann Wagner for Missouri's 2nd Congressional District. He says running for office taught him how to listen to the needs of the county.
This is really an opportunity to bring my technical skills as a prosecutor to bear to make sure that people in the county are safe, but also to make sure that their interests are represented in the prosecutor's office.
Page nominated Van Osteren to replace Wesley Bell early last week, but there's an ongoing legal fight over whether it's up to Page or Republican Governor Mike Parson to make that appointment. The Federal Appeals Court in Chicago has put a hold on an East St. Louis judge's ruling against Illinois' assault weapons ban. That means last week's ruling allows the law banning assault weapons to remain. The Chicago Sun-Times reports this is the second time the appellate court has upheld the ban. The litigation is expected to possibly escalate as high as the U.S. Supreme Court. Illinois banned the sale of assault weapons and capped the purchase of magazines after the deadly 2022 Highland Park 4th of July shooting, which left 7 people dead. Illinois American Water customers will see a rate hike in 2025. The Illinois Commerce Commission approved an increase of $110 million. That's a 30% reduction from the company's initial request. Jim Chilson of the Citizens Utility Board says it's unclear what the individual increase of customers will be.
People across the state have told us that their bills are too high the way it is. So a $110 million rate hike is not going to be good news to them, and we completely understand that.
A statement from Illinois American Water says the increase was requested because of more than $550 million in infrastructure improvements in 2024 and 2025. The company will contact customers directly about rate increases. Donald Trump promised increased tariffs while on the campaign trail, and as president-elect, he's doubled down on the pledge, targeting Canada, Mexico, and again, China. Charlie Schlenker reports Illinois agriculture organizations still hope he doesn't mean it.
President Trump's first term was pretty good for farmers on tax policy, not so much for trade. Tariffs imposed on China prompted a backlash, which cost farmers like Ryan Frieders of Waterman, Illinois, global market share.
It was pretty detrimental to the soybean market as a U.S. farmer.
Ryan Whitehouse is the director of national legislation for the Illinois Farm Bureau. Whitehouse says they understand there are players and practices in the global market that need to be addressed, but corn, beef, and pork also take hits.
Slapping just tariffs, it is a little scary to a farmer, and we hesitate a little bit here at Illinois Farm Bureau when we hear, well, we'll just tariff other countries, because we know who's going to take that first, and it's going to be the Illinois farmer, the American farmer, through retaliatory tariffs. And we don't need anything else to hurt the farm economy. The farm economy is struggling right now.
Agriculture groups hope the promised trade restrictions will be brief. Rodney Weinzerl farms near Stanford in McLean County. He's also the executive director of the Illinois Corn Growers Association. Weinzerl says a second Trump administration could use the tariffs as a lever to level out unfair trade practices other countries exert on the U.S.
And it's used as kind of a bargaining step to get them at the table to get something worked out, rather than kind of a therapeutic tariff, you know, that goes on for a really long time with kind of no bargaining of trying to resolve it.
Ryan Frieders seconds Weinzerl's idea. Frieders sits on the Government Relations Committee for the Illinois Soybean Association.
I think President-elect Trump is a very smart businessman. And I think that he is not afraid to use tariffs if he needs to, as we've seen in the past. But hopefully it could be a tactic to just bring people back to the table.
And some of the trade practices the U.S. criticized as unfair go beyond tech and consumer goods. The Illinois Farm Bureau's Ryan Whitehouse says there are ag-specific barriers the Trump administration could take on.
When we import products from other countries like a Brazil, when we import ethanol at zero tariff from them, but they slap an 18% tariff on our ethanol, you know, that's an unfair practice.
Recent history suggests the effect of tariffs could be long-lasting, regardless of how brief they are. Ryan Frieders of the Soybean Association acknowledges China has continued to buy some soybeans, but has largely transferred its buying to South American countries.
It has not come back. We have not regained our market share with that market.
Part of the reason is U.S. trade restrictions on China have continued, and vice versa. Rodney Weinzerl of the Corn Growers Association says another piece is that nations want to make sure their food supply is coming from a secure source. So when the U.S. hit China, China invested in countries like Brazil to build infrastructure for more row crop production.
And so that would be, in particular, an area that could have potentially a long negative effect.
Weinzerl says it's hard to predict whether the row crop market share loss will be permanent.
You continue to see expansion of especially meat consumption in developing countries throughout Southeast Asia. You know, you will see continued meat exports or grain exports for those countries to raise livestock.
Despite President Trump's history of protectionism and current low commodities prices, farmers say they're optimistic over the long haul because the world needs to eat. I'm Charlie Schlenker.
That story comes to us from member station WGLT in Normal, Illinois. The Gateway is a production of St. Louis Public Radio, a listener-supported service of the University of Missouri St. Louis. Theme music by Ryan McNeely of Adult Fur. I'm Abby Larico, and from the St. Louis Public Radio newsroom, this has been The Gateway.